Stay tuned as we talk about Bible prophecy today, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Shalom, and welcome to Messianic Perspectives, a daily program where we look into the scriptures from a distinctive first century Jewish point of view. This is Liz Aiello. Today, Dr. Gary Hedrick is talking about Bible prophecy. His subject is Getting One World Ready for Two Men. This is a lengthy series, and we know that it's sometimes hard to catch every program. I'll be back at the end of today's message with an important announcement that might be of some help if you missed one of the programs or would like to share this important teaching with friends. And now, with today's installment, here is Gary Hedrick.
All right, thank you, and welcome, listening friend, to another edition of Messianic Perspectives. This is program number 11 in our series of prophetic studies on getting one world ready for two men. And we've been talking about getting one world ready for two men, religiously, geopolitically, technologically, historically, and prophetically. And on point number one, getting the world ready religiously, we said the Bible gives us some very interesting details about religious conditions at the end of this age. And remember, we've spent quite a bit of time talking about the continuity between the ancient Roman Empire 2,000 years ago and the global kingdom the Bible says will rise up in the end times. We said the Bible recognizes this continuity because it speaks of end time events as though they were occurring within the context of the Roman Empire. It's like the Roman Empire is still there when these things happen. Remember, we said you can take this and do one of two things with it. You can do what the preterists do and say, duh, the reason it sounds like the Roman Empire is because it is the Roman Empire, because they say, the preterists say, all the prophecies were fulfilled in the days of the ancient Roman Empire. So that's the first thing you can do with it. Or the second thing you can do with this continuity is say, well, the scriptures prophesy these events in the context of the Roman Empire, so that must mean the world will evolve to the point where the Roman Empire, or perhaps more accurately, a successor Roman Empire, will rule the world once again. Some people call it a resurrected Roman Empire, and that's okay, I guess, but I prefer the term successor Roman Empire. In other words, this is John's way in Revelation and Daniel's way back in the Old Testament of telling us to be watching for another Roman Empire, another empire centered in the Mediterranean world, populated essentially by the same ethnic groups who populated the ancient Roman Empire, another empire that will extend its influence and control over the whole world, much like the ancient Roman Empire did 2,000 years ago. So we're talking, first of all, about getting the world ready religiously. The Bible gives us some very interesting details about the role religion will play as we approach the time of the end. What will this world be like religiously, leading up to and during the end time tribulation? Well, let's look first of all at Matthew chapter 24. If you have your Bible handy, you might want to turn over there with us. Matthew chapter 24. This is where Jesus the Messiah is with his disciples, and they've just come out of the Jerusalem temple and made their way up the western slope of the Mount of Olives across the Kidron Valley, where you can look down on the Temple Mount. We always take our tour groups there. We've been there many, many times, and the view from that vantage point is breathtaking. And so there is Yeshua the Messiah with his Jewish disciples, and they're asking him questions about the future. They wanted to know, first of all, when the temple would be destroyed, because he had just told them not one stone would be left upon another. So they wanted to know when that would happen. And then secondly, they wanted to know what would be the sign of his coming and of the end of the age. Now notice, because this is very important, his disciples, or his Talmudim in Hebrew, his disciples were asking two different questions. First, they were asking about the destruction of the temple, and second, they were asking about his return at the end of the age. Now, the fact that they asked these questions shows that those disciples, even at this early stage in their comprehension, had quite an understanding of prophecy. For instance, they already understood that the coming of the Messiah would occur in two phases. He would come once in humility and then again in glory. He would come once as a servant and then again as a sovereign. How do we know that? Because they asked him, they said, "What will be the sign of your coming?" Well, where was Jesus when they asked him that question? He was right there in front of them. So evidently they knew he would be leaving and coming back again someday. What they were asking was, "When will you be coming back?" So the Lord begins weaving this masterful response in the Olivet Discourse, where he will actually answer both of their questions. He will explain, first of all, when the temple will be destroyed, and second, when he will be coming back, which is not easy to do, because as it turns out, there are nearly 2,000 years between those two events, something the disciples had no way of knowing. But the Lord does it, and he does it masterfully. He answers both questions in the same discourse. So to find out about religious conditions at the time of the second coming, we've come first of all here to Matthew chapter 24. This is where the disciples ask the Lord specific questions about the future and about his second coming. So he explains to them in some detail what conditions will be like during the time immediately preceding his second coming. Look at Matthew 24:4. It says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no one deceives you." Verse 5, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Skip down to verse 11. He says it again. "And many false prophets shall arise, and shall" what? "They shall deceive many," Jesus says. What's he saying? He's saying that as we approach the time of the end, one thing we will see more and more of is religious deception. You say, "Gary, there's always been religious deception. How can that be a sign of the end?" Well, that's true. There have always been charlatans and fakers and phonies who fleece the flock of God and deceive the flock of God. And there are always people who are gullible enough to believe these people. That's nothing new. But look carefully at what he says here. What Jesus is describing here is something that goes beyond mere religious quackery. Look at it. First of all, he tells his disciples, he says, "Take heed that no one deceives you." It's not like they're going to deceive someone else, but he says, if you're not careful, they're going to deceive you. So the nature of this religious deception is such that if we're not careful, even the most spiritual of us and the most discerning of us could be deceived. Even the most biblically literate of us could be deceived. He tells the disciples, he says, "Take heed that no one deceives you." Not just the gullible, but you. Not just the weak-minded, but you. Not just those who are weak in the faith, but you. He's talking to his own disciples, and he says, "Take heed that no one deceives you." So the religious deception he's talking about here is, first of all, convincing. Now you might ask, what is it that makes this religious deception so deceptive? Look at the next verse and you'll find the answer. Verse 5, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." That's why it's deceptive. These deceivers he's talking about are people who claim to be coming in the name of Christ. These are Christians, with quotations around it. Jesus says, "These people will come in my name, saying, I am Messiah, I am Messianic, I am Christian." So the deception is not only convincing, but it also claims to be Christian, quote unquote. Now, what does that mean? It means that as we approach the time of the end, things will not always be as they seem, especially on the religious scene. There will be preachers and teachers who will use Christian terminology and who will present themselves as followers of Jesus Christ, but they are not. That's why the Bible says we have to test the spirits. We have to discern what is of God and what is not. Even if it sails under the banner of Christianity, we need to be cautious. Do you remember what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? He said, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" And what does he say? Matthew 7:23, "And then will I profess unto them, I I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. He's making the point that in the last days, there will be a counterfeit form of Christianity, a false form of Christianity, which is really religianity, because all it is dead, cold, ritualistic, formalistic religion. Dead as a doornail, cold as ice. You go through the motions and you do all this religious stuff, but there's no life, no power, no vitality, no reality. You can take your fingernail and scrape away that religious veneer, and there's nothing underneath, nothing there. It's like Paul talked about in 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. It's a form of religion, but it's not the real thing. It's a form of dead, cold, lifeless religion, and you can even call it Christianity if you want to, but it's a ticket straight to hell, my friend, because it's not the real thing. But the deception will be so compelling, Jesus says. There is always the danger that even genuine believers will be taken in by it. That's why he tells his disciples to be careful so they won't be deceived. Well, that's all of our time for today. We'll continue with this on the next program. I hope you'll plan to join us as we continue talking about getting one world ready for two men. Until next time, this is your friend, Gary Hedrick, saying, God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gary. And thank you, listening friend, for tuning in today. You've been listening to Messianic Perspectives, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Gary Hedrick and CJF Ministries. Dr. Hedrick has been talking about the cumulative effect of developments in our generation. Everything is working towards getting one world ready for two men. If you'd like a copy of these programs, they're all available on compact disc for the suggested gift of $18. Just visit our online store at messianicspecialties.com and search for Getting One World Ready for Two Men. If you would prefer to order by mail, just address your request to Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. To order by phone, use our toll-free order line from the U.S. The number is 1-800-926-5397. Let me remind you that when you order the materials we offer here on the program, you're not only enabling us to remain here on your station, but you're also helping us take the good news of Yeshua HaMashiach to Jewish people and Gentiles all over the world. Even if you're one of our regular listeners, you still may not know that we're much more than just a radio program. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries, one of the largest missionary organizations in the world. We currently have missionary families serving the Lord all over the world, including the United States, Canada, South America, England, France, and of course, Israel. So when you write, consider helping us with a gift above the suggested amount. We'd be very grateful. Have you enjoyed this edition of Messianic Perspectives? Why not continue to learn about the Jewish roots of your Christian faith by inviting a speaker from CJF Ministries? Call our toll-free number, 1-800-926-5397, and we'll be happy to handle all of the details. And as always, when you're in touch with us, please mention the call letters of this station. If you're listening to our webcast or podcast, we need to know that too. I'm Liz Aiello. Join us next time, won't you, as Dr. Gary Hedrick continues our series of studies on Getting One World Ready for Two Men, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries of San Antonio, Texas, and is made possible on this station by the free will contributions of our listeners in this area.